It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
In the history of the National Football League.
Here we go, the game on the line, the snow is flying, the kick is up, the kick is good! The Bills win it 32-29.
Fourth down from midfield to the 10-5 touchdown! To try to tie the game on the last play of regulation. It's no good! And the Jets fall agonizingly short.
In the NFL, man, no matter what your record is, the margin of winning and losing is so small.
10-5 touchdown! To win the game in overtime!
Throws it over the middle. That's intercepted. Into the end zone, and the Jaguars have beaten the Cowboys in overtime.
Ramondre Stevenson pitches it backwards. Jacoby Myers spinning around. He throws it to Chandler Jones in midfield.
We've seen our fair share of things, but I have not seen that one.
Towards the end zone. It scores! Oh, my goodness!
Oh, my goodness indeed, which is par for the course of the NFL each and every Sunday. It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance with Keyshawn Johnson, Courtney Cronin. I'm Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. And don't forget about us on ESPN2 and ESPNU. We need some sanity, if we can call it that, when it comes to the NFL. And Rex Ryan, ESPN NFL analyst and former NFL head coach, will try to do that because 13 out of 15 games were decided by 8 points or less this weekend. Six ended on the final play, including the Patriots, Raiders, and Rex, they're calling this the Sin City Miracle. What are you calling it on that Patriots, what they did in that final play?
Well, first off, being a known Patriot hater, God, I love this. But it was it's just absolutely crazy. And the fact that this happened to a Bill Belichick coach team, it's just like, because you know Belichick's like, look, we'll just get down. We're going to go in overtime, and then we're going to do that. Like, that's what he's going to do here. There's no way Belichick's like, okay, let's just go ahead and lateral this thing. Play in overtime. That's all he's going to do. And it's, the way it ended, here's the crazy thing that nobody's going to talk about. The Raiders were actually prepared for this play. And, like, what do you mean they're prepared? Trust me. That's why Chandler Jones is hanging out by the quarterback. Any of those lateral things, you always cover the quarterback because he's the guy that reverses the field. Huh. And in this particular play, yeah, you're going to try to get the guy on the ground, no question about it. But why is Chandler Jones hanging back by the quarterback? They're prepared for this. And to me, that you know, the Raiders out-prepared the Patriots in this situation, it's hilarious and unbelievable at the same time.
But Rex, they didn't. This wasn't a situational play for them. This is something that was improvised. And if the Raiders were prepared for, good for them. I mean,
I'm telling you, they were, Key.
I'm saying that they were prepared for it. Good for them. But the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick and them didn't call this right.
Right.
But the defensive side of the ball for the Raiders was like, okay, just in case, this is where we're gonna set it up. This is what it's gonna be. I just don't understand why Stevenson started the trickle down by throwing it to Jacoby Myers. Now Jacoby Myers completely wet the bed in this situation because he panicked. And when he panicked, he just threw the ball across. He never saw Chandler Jones. And now you go and pick six the other way. And I can only imagine if you was on the sideline as a coach, your head probably would have exploded.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And you're right. I mean, they totally improvised this play. They're going to get down. They're going to go in overtime. Absolutely 100%. There's no chance this was part of the strategy. No chance whatsoever. But the fact that, you know, when Stevenson did pitch the ball out, you know, even the presence of mind, like Jacoby Myers is a smart guy. What are you doing, dude? Like, if he made the mistake, you don't make the mistake of doubling back here, throwing it back to Mac Jones. This isn't game on the line. We have to score here. The game is tied. You're going to go into overtime with him. I mean, just it just blows me away. The most mind-boggling thing of all time. And the great thing is it happened to the Patriots. So.
All right, let's stay in the AFC East. Rex, Zach Wilson gets his job back, at least temporarily, because of that broken rib to Mike White. And he plays okay against Detroit. I mean, it still is another loss for this Jets team. Has Zach Wilson done enough, or will he have, body of work-wise, to get his job back? Because I think about what happened yesterday. There was the pick six after halftime. He had a couple nice throws early on, but he was rather pedestrian. Like, has he done enough to earn his old job back? And on top of that, like, if they keep losing games, do you think that Robert Saleh just turns this back over to Zach Wilson to kind of get a better sample size so they know what they're going into 2023 with?
Well, first off, I think he's going to end up being the quarterback on Thursday, and so we'll know more about him. Look, Zach Wilson had some moments in this game, man. He was throwing up some jump balls, throwing it deep down the field. Garrett Wilson making some big plays. And at the time, you're like, man, this guy's done some good things. They moved the pocket with him a little bit, made some throws down the field. And, you know, he looked good. If you're just looking at some of the spurts that he had, he looked really good.
Right.
But then there's other times, like the interception, absolutely horrendous play. The intentional grounding that he takes there that we showed earlier. You know, he's got to grow from these things. And the competitiveness. Now, look, guys, this guy has a 4th and 19 and hits it,
mm-hmm.
stays alive and hits it. So there were some positive things. From a competitive standpoint, there was a lot of positive things. So he's going to get another opportunity on Thursday, in my opinion. I don't think Mike White will be back for that one with broken ribs. And so we'll see how he does against Jacksonville. And to me, you're right. I think going into the season, we wanted to see the Jets flip their defense, which they did. They have now one of the best defenses in the league, and you wanted to get an accurate evaluation on your quarterback. Your quarterback is Zach Wilson. It's not Mike White. So to me, that's certainly on the table to see this kid finish the season.
Yeah, and if he, whether he finished the season tonight, Rex, he's going to be in a quarterback sort of competition next offseason into training camp, headed into the season, whether they re-sign Mike White or bring somebody else in. Whatever the case is, it won't be you have your job back, you're the guy in 2023, just because of what happened several weeks ago and how certain people within the organization or even on the team, the sidelines, you can look at them side-eyeing him. You can tell that they're not, you know, in love with him, so to speak. They're kind of like, we can live with you or live without you. So he's got a lot to prove between the end of this season and the start of next season.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, Key. And you're not just going to put all your eggs in that Zach Wilson basket. There's no chance of that. And, you know, but he's got a chance to win back the locker room and then with his play to come back and say, okay, we actually have something here. I mean, he throws for over 300 yards in this game. You know, so like I say, there were some positives. You know, Detroit's not a slouch of a team by any stretch. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But you're right, Key. You're not going to invest a second overall pick and not give this guy another opportunity to either succeed or fail.
Rex Ryan, ESPN NFL analyst and noted Patriot hater here on Keyshawn, J. Will Max and ESPN Radio at ESPNU. A lot of people hating on Dak Prescott with the turnovers, including two interceptions yesterday, Rex. When I say concern in Dak's turnovers, what do you say?
Well, I get where people are coming from, and if you're just looking on paper, you can say, well, Dak threw two interceptions. He threw one interception. The kid should have caught the ball late in the game.
True.
So, I mean, I'm not that – you know, the one interception obviously was bad on the overthrow here. But other than that, look, Dak Prescott's far from being the reason this team's struggling. What happened to your vaunted defense? They gave up over 500 yards to Jacksonville, almost 200 yards rushing on the ground. They act like, you know, they're the 85 Bears on defense. They're not even close. They can't hold that team's jock.
Right.
And that's the bigger issue here. Be the team you're supposed to be, not just be, you know, that team's soft. They show up in this moment. You've got Micah Parsons, their best player, talking about, well, next week when we play the Eagles. The game doesn't even matter next week. Because you couldn't handle your business against Jacksonville. And that's the thing. This team is who they are. They overvalue this football team. We talk about Dan Quinn like he's the next Buddy Ryan as a defensive coach. He's not close. You've got Kellen Moore. Everybody raves about him. Everything is, hey, these guys are phenomenal. No, they're not. Just because they have a star in their helmet, this team is up and down, and it's to me, they don't have that killer instinct to put teams away. And we're going to trust this team in the playoffs? I'm not.
Yeah. Hey, Rex, always appreciate the time. Hey, have a great holiday as well, my friend, and take care and be well, partner.
All right, he's not even Rex Ryan, let alone Buddy Ryan.
Dang right. You're right. He might not even be Rob Ryan.
But Rob's like, wait, what did I do? Why are you dragging me into this? Thanks, bro. Thanks, Rex.
All right, my pleasure, guys.
Oh, great stuff by Rex Ryan, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here in Keyshawn, J. Will and Max with Keyshawn Johnson, Courtney Cronin. I'm Freddie Coleman. And Keyshawn's going to explain why the word typical and Bill Belichick team can't go in the same sentence anymore. That's next on ESPN Radio and ESPNU.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Oh, the observation is always good when it comes to Keyshawn Johnson, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio. Thanks to Geico. Switch to Geico today and see the ways you could save. It's time for Key to have his observations. And when he's done, we'll let Courtney and Freddie maybe dissect it and dilute it a little bit. So, Key, hit it, my friend.
Are we starting at 1 or 5? Because I was goofing around in the break. So
we're starting at 1.
Okay. Number 1.
See, there you
all
go.
All right, number 1, Tom Brady. Tom Brady probably needs to, at the end of the year, you know what I'm saying, by the time he gets to that second-to-last game, the wave, the soft wave, the tip of the hat, letting everybody know this is it, you know, put up the number one finger, walk off, cry, you know, give a little tears to somebody on the sideline, you know, something, because he needs to retire, man. I understand. We hate to talk negative about Tom Brady because it's the great one, right? He's 7 Super Bowls. You know, I've been to 10 of them. What have you done? I get all of that. But right now, in his playing career, man, it's just it's a sad-looking thing right now from what I remember Tom Brady as at the quarterback spot.
Number two,
Jalen Hurts. One game closer to locking up the MVP. I know He threw two interceptions early, three rushing touchdowns on the ground, and Patrick Mahomes is right there too, James. Don't say anything. But Jalen Hurts is one step closer. On Christmas Eve, it's like the national championship game in college football. It's like the Super Bowl. Everybody's going to be watching the Dallas Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, and if he goes out there and he does what I think he's going to do, he's going to lock that thing up. The MVP trophy will go to him.
Number three.
Yesterday, the Las Vegas Raiders, the New England Patriots. Now, I've watched New England all year long, and I know Bill Belichick, and I know his teams very, very well. This year is not the typical Bill Belichick team. Some of the mistakes that they make, some of the things that they've been doing, the quarterback play, the coaching decisions on the offensive side of the ball, things that they've been doing is certainly not a Bill Belichick coach team. You look at that yesterday and the mistakes that was made, starting with Stevenson and Jacoby Meyer. Jacoby Meyer, ex-quarterback, completed a pass to Chandler Jones for a touchdown. How does that sound? They on two different teams. Not good.
Number four.
Minnesota Vikings. People are bagging on the Minnesota Vikings, which sit in the number two spot in the NFC conference, looking to try to figure out how to get to the number one spot, but sitting at two, they're sitting pretty. You are what your records say you are. I understand. We like San Francisco better. We might like the Cowboys better. Hell, we might even like the Commanders better than the Minnesota Vikings. But the Minnesota Vikings are sitting number two. And the record says different than what people out there are doing. They erased the whatever it was, 30-something point deficit. They erased it, came back, and got the Indianapolis Colts in Jeff Saturday. They came back and got him. So I know going into the playoffs, we all probably think they're going to be one and done. But just think about this for a minute. The Minnesota Vikings can wind up in the damn Super Bowl. Ugh. What if Philly loses, Dallas loses, and then they get somebody like San Francisco or Green Bay, goes into Minnesota? You just don't know how this thing is going to shake out before we all of a sudden say Minnesota is not a very good football team. We know their defense isn't good, but the weird things do happen in professional sports, and this could be a weird one.
Number five.
Speaking of weird, the Detroit Lions are scratching on the door of making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's a little weird, wouldn't you say, Courtney?
Yeah, I mean, think absolutely. About it.
They can be a scary football team if they got into the playoffs because they're unpredictable. You don't know. You know you're going to get something on the ground in the running game, and Jared Goff is playing lights-out football right now, but you really don't know what you might get from a defensive side of the ball with Aaron Glenn and his staff. You have no idea. Dan Campbell and him, the Fighting Campbells is what I like to call them. The Fighting Dan Campbells are scratching on an opportunity to get into the playoffs. So that's my top five key observations from this weekend. I know I probably lost or missed some stuff along the way. I didn't add the Dolphins in there. I know people want to hear me bag on the Dolphins who played decent in the snow. They played decent.
Yeah. No, I liked your point on the Lions and the way that I've thought about this and just how they got here, because we all try to figure out what was the moment that things changed, because things did not start out this good for them. Even though I think it was week two, they had that win over Washington, and you're kind of wondering, what group is this and which group is going to show up on a week-to-week basis? Philly gets a ton of credit for the way that they constructed that roster around Jalen Hurts and just how deliberate they were, especially building the offensive line, making sure they went out and got receivers for Hurts to throw to, and certainly, you know, retooling everything on the defense and making sure that you have a rotation of 8-9 guys on the defensive line. I think that you can honestly throw Detroit into that same category when you look at the way that they've constructed this team. And defensively, I mean, spending so much draft capital, Aiden Hutchinson, Josh Pashal, Kirby Joseph. I mean, those three picks right there and guys who are making an impact on this team so far this season, they're dangerous. And I honestly think if you're looking at this week 18, I think that they could win out. I know that that's kind of a controversial thing when you think about the Detroit Lions getting themselves into the postseason by way of winning their last three games, but I don't think it's impossible. And had it not been for Minnesota locking up the NFC North this past weekend, it took them, you know, coming back from a 33-point deficit at halftime to beat a 4-8-1 team. Things would be a lot more interesting in that division, but it's going to be Minnesota and Detroit coming out of the NFC North, in my opinion, by the time this is all said and done, and they'll probably end up getting the 7th seed.
And think about this with the Detroit Lions. If they had not let Minnesota get away, in week three.
In the earlier meeting.
They had that game won, and they let them get away, and the Vikings win it 28-24. According to your point, they're at Carolina, home versus the Bears, then at the Green Bay Packers. And when it
comes to winnable slate.
They can completely win out and finish at 10-7. The team that they're not going to catch in that division, Minnesota Vikings, I hear what Key's trying to do. I'm not biting the cheese when it comes to the Vikings. I know strange things happen in the playoffs. I get it. But if they don't get there, you won't be able to blame Kirk Cousins. You'll have to blame the defense because he's not the problem. There's no doubt about that. I did not think I would say that about Kirk Cousins in any kind of situation. But he's dialed it up, and not just the last couple of weeks. But that leaky defense, Key, to me, if they don't get to the Super Bowl, it won't be because of Captain Kirk. It'll be because that defense is playing less than stellar.
No, you're right, Freddie, but okay. And James is going to reach through the TV and choke me out here.
Why?
Because the Kansas City Chiefs 2 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl, that defense was garbage, okay? But they got to the Super Bowl with the offense. And all I'm saying is when you look up, weird things happen where all of a sudden we're all on Philadelphia. And whoever Philadelphia gets comes in and they pop them. And everybody's like, oh, my God, they wasn't ready. Because the layoff, because the bye. They locked it up, Courtney, with two games to go, and they rested their players. Then they got the bye. So they're off 3 weeks, basically, before they play again. You know, all that kind of weird stuff that goes on come playoff time. Then you look up, and the Dallas Cowboys are doing exactly what everybody thought. They Dallas Cowboying it, right? And then you start to say, okay, is there a path for the Minnesota Vikings, even though we don't trust their defense, to get to the Super Bowl? Well, here it is. Now they're the one seed, right? And now all of a sudden they get the New York Giants. So they get some team that we don't feel good about, and then they in the NFC Championship game. And then all of a sudden they win that. And then they're in Arizona, and we'll be sitting back going, damn, their defense stepped up at the right time. That's all I'm saying. Do I believe it? No. Am I going to put my house on it? No. I'm not betting my life on it. Not a chance.
The problem for me with this team, because like I was trying to, you know, conceptualize and take everything into account from what happened in this week 15 game against the Colts. Okay. It's impressive, but it's alarming. It's impressive that you can come back from a 33-point deficit at halftime. It's never been done before. So, I mean, the fact that they did that, the largest comeback in NFL history, you only do that if you have a talented team. And I think we very clearly saw the talent gap between a team like the Indianapolis Colts and the Minnesota Vikings.
No doubt.
But the fact is, Freddie, they've outscored opponents by two whole points this year. That's really bad.
Yeah,
and defensively, the last couple of weeks, people have been clamoring for Ed Donatell to make some sort of adjustments, and you didn't really see any of that. Even in this game, that was going into a game in a stretch where they were giving up 400 yards per game, like big chunk plays. Their pass defense has struggled. And I thought it was kind of interesting where Patrick Peterson was in the locker room at halftime, and he said, we're going to go get stops. We need you as the offense to go and score 5 touchdowns. And, of course, like some guys in the locker room, I think it was even Kirk Cousins said, I wasn't sure like to take that seriously or not, if that was like a hyperbolic statement, because you've got to think about what they did. They were down 29 points with 23 minutes left in regulation. And that was the 5 touchdown drives that Patrick Peterson said they had to go out and do. They averaged 2 minutes and 3 seconds on each touchdown drive. To think about, like, no-huddle offenses, for example, and just thinking about, you know, the quick game, that takes it to a different level. So, yeah, to Key's point, the defense, if it can finally get its act together on a consistent basis, you'll be in a spot where you don't have to rely on the offense to go out and do that. Like, the 5 times they had to go basically hurry-up mode, 2-minute offense, just to be able to get back into this game. That's impressive, but it's alarming that it constantly gets here with the Minnesota Vikings. And that's why I think people look at their 11-3 record. Vegas thinks that they're fraudulent. A bunch of different statistical entities can prove that. But I think that they have – it's impressive if you're able to find ways to do this on a consistent basis with 10 of your wins coming down to one possession games. You don't get there based on luck and luck alone.
But
I think
that
a lot of that
think
has
about
to come
it.
To the talent, get the talent that they have on offense to be able to get back into games that they were out of.
Think about it, though. Who in the NFC outside of Philadelphia offensively. And I know what happened with the Cowboys. I get it. But outside of Philadelphia and NFC, who should they really be afraid of?
San Francisco.
San Francisco?
But should they really be afraid of San Francisco?
Yeah, because
are we putting a lot on San Francisco because of their defense? Because Brock Purdy obviously is playing good enough where we're like, okay, they don't need Jimmy G. But what if they all of a sudden get a hold of that defense and they start scoring points on that defense? Can San Francisco score the same rate that Minnesota can score at?
I trust that defense. Those bloodthirsty Pirates over there and Kyle Shanahan, the way that he coaches. I'm not saying Brock Purdy is going to continue to do this. We don't know. That's the unknown factor. But I trust that defense, that anybody they play, you're not getting a lot of yards against that defense. I trust that defense.
Yeah, and I trust Brock Purdy against the Vikings defense right now, if I'm being sure. completely honest with you.
But we're also talking about 5 weeks, 6 weeks from now, right?
Oh, no.
We're not talking about tomorrow.
No, we get all of that. I don't use past events to tell me what can happen in the present and the future. But there's certain things I look at that are trending. I say, okay, that's a team you should fear and that's a team you should worry about. To me, that 49ers team peaking at the right time on defense and getting healthier, and the more they get comfortable with Brock Purdy, I mean, they were so comfortable with him when he came in for Jimmy Garoppolo. They didn't throw the ball 37 times in that ball game. So if that's not a comfort level with a guy that was the final pick in the NFL draft, they have more of a comfort level with Brock Purdy in 1 minute than the Jets had in a year and a half with Zach Wilson. That tells me all I need to know about Brock Purdy in San Francisco.
And to that point, Freddie, if Kyle Shanahan isn't worried about it, should the rest of us be? I mean, you've got him putting Brock Purdy in situations where he can let it rip. I mean, think about what they did against Tampa. They go up 28-0 at halftime because he has that faith in Brock Purdy. So I guess we should be falling in line with that, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Great. Well, Keyshawn's not falling in line with it, but we shall see.
No, that's not true. I'm just trying to figure out how Minnesota can get a path. I'm all on San Francisco and Brock Purdy, not Purdy. Pretty.
I'm just teasing you. Keyshawn Johnson, Courtney Cronin, Freddie Coleman, and Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPNU. What's more concerning, or should be more concerning, to Dallas? The turnovers by the quarterback or the lack of turnovers generated by their defense?
Shotgun for Prescott. Fires middle of the field. It is picked off by Rayshon Jenkins.
Guy makes a great catch right there above the ground and ends the game.
You could just feel the game the way it was going.
How good is that?
Didn't I tell you?
On Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPNU, presented by Progressive Insurance with Courtney Cronin and Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman. Let's wish a Merry Christmas to Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst. A great follow on Twitter at DanOrlovsky7. Brother Dan, we're going to start with this question.
What up?
What's more concerning to you? Dak's turnovers have been the most in the NFL the 8 games he's been back with, 10 of those 8 games, or the Jaguars hanging a 40-burger on Dallas after being down 27-10?
I'd say Dak and the turnovers. That they've consistently happened, that they're happening in what feels like moments of panic with the football, which is, again, so abnormal for Dak Prescott. And the reason why I have said over this like 5 or 6 week stretch that the turnovers concern me is because of that very specific reason. Now, everyone has come back and went, Dan, you didn't say last year. You said last year that you weren't concerned about the turnovers for Matthew Stafford because of when they happened and how they happened. Like, Stafford would throw an interception last year on 3rd and 19. He would throw the ball 60 yards downfield and it'd be picked off. Everyone would be like, oh, my goodness. Well, there's no impact on that one. The second interception yesterday is not on Dak. It's a good play by him. Noah Brown's got to catch that football. He made a bunch of big plays yesterday. The reason why I give the Cowboys defense a little bit of a break is the injuries are real, and they've started to pile up. I said when their nickel went out, that was going to be a big deal. When Anthony Brown, their corner opposite Trayvon, went out, that was going to be a big deal. So I think because of those injuries, you give them a little bit grace. I will say this, though, and this is going to be a hot take. I think they're great young players. Great young players. When was the last time we raved post-game about a Trayvon Diggs and or a Micah Parsons?
Okay.
It's not happening right now for neither of those guys right now. All of us people who watch these games are walking away from the game going, oh, my gosh. Because here's the reality. I watched Thibodeau last night, dominated. I watched Aiden Hutchinson yesterday, dominated. I watched boasted the other day, dominated. For some reason, the Cowboys need those two young players to absolutely own the game. And right now, we're not talking about either of those guys that much.
Yeah, and I don't want to talk about the shirt you're wearing either, but I'm going to leave that alone.
What's wrong with the shirt?
I lost my tie, Key.
Yeah, something ain't right. It don't look right.
From my walk over, I lost my tie.
It doesn't look right.
I got to go on TV.
Wait,
like
how do you lose
today,
your
bud?
Tie in the walk over? What, were you mugged on the walk over for a tie?
Right, you know what this walk is at 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's
when
true.
When you hit that waterfront, you're like, oh, my God. You're just
trying
to get inside.
I'm sure there's some ties laying around. But look, you know.
That's a good idea.
You know, Dan, the interceptions are alarming, and I'm glad that you pointed out the Noah Brown. Dak put it where he needed to put it.
He
protected him from the squatting corner, and Noah Brown, instead of fading away from the football, go attack the football and not catch it with your forearms, catch it with your damn hands. That's what you get paid to do. When you look at the Chicago game yesterday, is there any concern at all about the way the Eagles have played yesterday against Chicago?
Heck yeah, Key. I love the fact that you brought that up. So real quick, before I answer that question, I think the reality is Trevor Lawrence is good enough for Jacksonville to be a legit Super Bowl contender next year. And I think Justin Fields is so good that if Chicago's general manager Ryan Poles is good, I think they could be a Super Bowl contender in 2024. He's that impressive of a player. Now, to the Eagles. Here's my concern about the Eagles, Key, because this is like the third or fourth time this year where I've watched the game and then rewatched the game and said they just try and chase big plays on offense too much. And it's not only the fact of, well, they threw the ball so much, it's how they're throwing the ball. It's let's just drop back and throw it downfield a ton. Now, did Jalen make some awesome throws? I think there's two or three. One to Devontae down the sideline and one to A.J. Brown. Perfect go routes. But I felt like he threw 8 or 9 go balls yesterday instead of working in more intermediate games, slants. AJ's so good crossing the middle of the field, and the stat line looks awesome. You know, 300. Yeah, watch the game. There's such a chase of big plays that they get into that mode, and if they don't hit them, they become stagnant. They don't play to their strengths. It's too taxing for an offense that is built to be ball control, methodical, and do whatever I want. And I don't like when they do that. And if they do that this week versus Dallas, and everyone says, well, Dan, they're not going to do in the playoffs. How do you know? How do you know that they're not? I don't know that Nick Sirianni's not going to do that in the playoffs. And that is me nitpicking? Absolutely. That's my job right now, is to nitpick these teams.
Okay, so let's nitpick the MVP race, Dan. Jalen Hurts did throw 2 interceptions yesterday, but he also passed for 300 yards and ran 3 touchdowns in Chicago. Has your thoughts on the MVP changed given what we saw from both Hurts and Mahomes and maybe even Joe Burrow entering the conversation week 15?
Yeah, so I feel for about 6 weeks now it's been that group of 4 that we see on the screen right now. Hurts, Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow. Mahomes is still 1. I think that Tua, as well as he played this past week, probably gets into the top 5, but he's not cracking that 4. I would probably place, coming off of this past weekend, Josh Allen above Hurts right now because of the impact of the game, how well Josh played. I think he's back in there. It's that group of – I think Patrick sits at the top right now, and someone's going to have to go take it from Patrick, or he's going to have to play very poorly. Now, Jalen's got a massive game this weekend. I kind of correlated it, Courtney, to like the Heisman moments. You know, he's got a huge, huge opportunity and stage this weekend. But Joe Burrow's going to have one coming as well. Patrick's at the top, but it's Joe, Jalen, and Josh chasing Patrick.
See, I think Patrick is right. I think Jalen is slightly above Patrick, but Patrick is there. All Patrick got to do is continue to play solid and wait for Jalen to stumble. And as soon as that, he jumps and leapfrog him.
See, I felt like Jalen stumbled a little bit yesterday, Kate.
Yeah, but only reason why he stumbled is – now, I remind you, Dan, you're looking at film. The people that's doing these votes, they ain't looking at 9 go routes. They're looking at the stat line.
No, I feel you.
So the 2 interceptions, they're going to look at that, but then they also going to look at the 3 TDs and the victory.
Yeah.
So what I was going to say is – I think he's a little above Patrick. Patrick just keeps doing what he's doing and wait for Jalen to stumble against, like, Dallas or something. Then he's going to leapfrog him again.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, on the other hand, he played great against the Miami Dolphins. He's done well. He's done fine. But I think early season, late fourth quarter, game-closing moments kind of hurt him. And I know coming into the year, it was everybody's favorite. But I think right now it's a two-horse race. I think that two-horse race is between Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, however you want to flip it. And Joe Burrow's trying to make some noise, but he's so far behind that he'll never leapfrog them to be able to catch him.
I don't think Joe's that far behind. I mean, Joe is on an absolute heat-seeking missile streak.
Yeah, you said it right. Heat-seeking missile.
What?
I mean, but look, the reason I say he's so far behind is because you need both of them to stumble, and he needs to continue to just take off.
But they need. But the moments will be there. That's my thing. Like that, he's gonna Jalen's MVP case is going to either be kind of entrenched coming off of going into Christmas morning, or he'll be out of the race.
Okay, we put it this way: there's still a lot to do, even though the NFL season is getting shorter.
No doubt,
and shorter.
Go find a tie. Man.
I was gonna say this thing: that good luck finding a tie, Dan.
Yeah, because you look like a creep.
Yeah, the last thing you need to be is
a bunch of extra clothing in that closet.
Yeah,
I don't like the way you look, Dan.
Bro, first of all, I don't like the way your face looks. Second of all, you got a full zip up, and Freddie, you're wearing a hoodie. Y'all telling me to wear a tie?
Well, look at it this way: we're not gonna be on First Take getting clowned by Stephen A. if we don't have a tie.
If you didn't have a tie on, it's fine.
I lost it.
It's the collar. It's just the shirt.
Yeah.
It's something about the shirt.
I don't mind the shirt, Dan.
Does this look better, Key?
Does it? Yeah.
That looks a little better. That looks better.
Yeah, the tie right now is someone's got a free tie. Yeah. Keyshawn, you don't have any of your
at the palatial
Prada
Estates.
Ties here? Does Prada make ties?
Yes, Prada makes ties, and no, I don't wear Prada.
That's enough, Dan. Beat it. We'll see you later, brother.
Tom Ford.
Dan Olasky.
Oh, how did you get those headsets around those ears?
Oh, boy.
Never mind.
Jeez. God. Dan Olasky just getting the business from all of us.
Hey, yo.
Wow.
I don't like your face.
Yeah, get him, Dan. Get him.
Cut his mic off.
Yeah, we will. Later, Dan. Dan Olasky, ESPN football analyst. Hit him on Twitter, Dan Olasky 7. Joining us here, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max with Courtney Cronin and Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman. Dan Olasky gave his case for Patrick Mahomes as MVP. But what about this guy that many people thought was going to be the MVP when the season got started?
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Dawson Knox with the touchdown.
He played a heck of a game tonight. I love throwing it to him.
Bring on the snow. It's snowing hard now.
A great atmosphere, great environment tonight in Orchard Park.
Fires into the end zone and is caught.
Then you had the reprimand of the fans for throwing the snowballs on the field.
I was just more concerned with the safety when there was ice balls flying at people's heads.
Obviously, greatest home advantage, I think, throughout the NFL.
Welcome to the show that does not put raisins in a potato salad. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max with Keyshawn Johnson, Courtney Cronin. I'm Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. And don't forget about us on ESPNU and ESPN2. So when did the Heisman Trophy situation take over the MVP race? Apparently for more than a minute. We had Darren Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, on about 5 minutes ago. And he says, here's a guy that people are not talking about that should be right behind Jalen Hurts in the MVP race, and he's Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills.
I would probably place, coming off of this past weekend, Josh Allen above Hurts right now because of the impact of the game, how well Josh played. I think he's back in there. It's that group of, I think Patrick sits at the top right now, and someone's going to have to go take it from Patrick, or he's going to have to play very poorly. Now, Jalen's got a massive game this weekend. I kind of correlated it, Courtney, to like the Heisman moments. You know, he's got a huge, huge opportunity and stage this weekend, but Joe Burrow's going to have one coming as well. Patrick's at the top, but it's Joe, Jalen, and Josh chasing Patrick.
What I don't understand, I would flip about it. That, man, like, why? Just, we were just like looking at the odds on the screen. Like, Hurts is still number one odds. Like, why is everybody? Yeah, like, take a look at that. He's -145 to win this award key. Like, I still don't understand why people have Patrick Mahomes over him, just from even like that standpoint.
Well, I think Patrick Mahomes has a little bit of, you know, it's Patrick, so he got a little snack, crackle, pop, and he's somewhat. You know, 145 to 170 is not a big gap. So he's kind of right there with them. He's just waiting for Jalen Hurts to stumble. So if Jalen Hurts stumbled against Chicago, but he rebounded with the three touchdowns in the victory, the two interceptions, let's say he had the two picks, he only scored one touchdown and they lost, then he would be in trouble. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he got the three on the ground, he won the game, they got the number one seed, he stays right where he's at. So all Patrick doing is waiting for him to stumble. If he stumbles against the Cowboys, Patrick will leapfrog him, and then it'll be over with. As far as Josh Allen goes, I get it. He was the hype machine coming into the season, but the late game interceptions earlier to the mid part of the year, I think, hurt him a little bit. And then they lost to Minnesota, so that dropped a little bit, even though it wasn't his fault, but he did lose a snap at the goal line. So a lot of that has people going, and the Bills aren't the juggernaut I think people thought they were. Joe Burrow comes in, he's red hot right now. But the other two guys, in my opinion, are so far out in front of him that it's hard for three to catch one. Okay. Three might catch two, but three's not catching one. Even if he goes on a tear the next 3 weeks, because most people's minds are made up before the end of the season anyway.
That's fair, Keyshawn. Here's something else with Patrick Mahomes. He's always going to suffer from the same thing that anybody who gets to a certain level, people start having Patrick Mahomes fatigue. Shaq went through it when he was the MVP, and Michael Jordan, people like that. People want to see somebody else. But when you see that somebody else, then he wants to see somebody else again. And I think
he's only got one.
I understand that. One's better than zero. But when you're that great all the time, people pick holes in your game. Jalen Hurts is on the come up, so people want to see if he can actually do it. Josh Allen, we've known him for more than a little bit. But all that hype machine, that's what I don't like about voting like this, Courtney and Key, when they try to make it a Heisman moment. The MVP is for the regular season, not for the regular week. And plenty of people lose sight of that. And Key, to your point, I wonder how many people already either cast a vote for Jalen, cast a vote for Josh, and cast a vote for Patrick, and then not worry about the rest of the season. Then that's not what the voting is supposed to be.
Well, Courtney, you have your the way you guys do it, the pool that you have. Mm-hmm. Explain to us how you guys do it week to week. Is it week to week? Or
no, it's every 4 weeks. And what we use a Heisman-esque voting process, 10 to 1. So 10, whoever gets, you know, your first place votes, they get 10. So last week when we did it, going into week 15, Mahomes had 9 first-place votes. Hurts had 5 first-place votes of our 14 panel. And I picked Jalen Hurts as the MVP last week. And obviously that can change, but, you know, he would still be my MVP after this week. Like, it's his to lose at this point, and we'll find out for sure next Sunday. Is he carrying MVP momentum into Christmas Day coming off of that game against the Cowboys, or will it be Patrick Mahomes to run away with at that point?
Cool question. For you guys on a betting standpoint, mm-hmm. Does Jalen Hurts come into the Dallas Cowboy game with a Christmas theme suit on, color scheme, something like that?
Like green
that.
And red.
Something
I hope
like
not.
That.
Because he did that against Washington and they lost.
True.
Oh.
Dylan's going to keep it. Dylan's going back home to his state of Texas. He's going to keep it business casual. Mark my words.
I bet you he comes in looking like Santa helper.
Well, Dak needs Santa's help to win that game. That's next.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.